Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Let's go to Detroit now. The NCAA Wrestling Championships. And he is taken Detroit personally by storm. I'm not surprised. And people in Windsor love him as well, across the river. And that is Jeff Byers. Sir, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
I hope you're having a good time so far.
I will say I've actually been pleasantly surprised with the revitalization efforts here in downtown Detroit. And we went over this morning to, you know, check out the arrangements. And
it's a nice arena.
Little Caesars Arena is a really neat arena. I do think it's going to be a great venue for the fans that are here.
Yeah, that's where the Pistons and the Wings play, by the way.
Yeah.
So just so everybody knows. And it's the first time they've been together, the Wings and the Pistons, because, you know, they used to play Cubba Hall, the Olympia, and then, you know, Joe Louis Arena, and then they were up in Pontiac for a while, Auburn Hills, so now they have the same place. So you always get a sense for a team when you're around them. I can tell, when, you know, just being around the teams, are they in a good place or not? Going to Indianapolis, I was like, wow, they're in a good place, right? What's your sense? You're around them. What's your sense? They in a good place?
Yeah, I think they are, Steve, as is the norm here under Cale Sanderson. They're just a relaxed team. You don't see guys getting uptight or, hey, I need to go over in the corner by myself. But it just is a team that's loose. They like kidding around with each other. You know, they're obviously focused in on the task at hand, and there are a couple of guys working on, you know, some specific things that they want to try to improve on technique-wise or little adjustments here. But at the roll around this morning over at the arena, just a very loose team. You know, a lot of fist bumping with each other and others in the entourage. They're just, again, I think they're ready to go. I think they're dialed in. But, you know, over the years here, what we've seen with this program under Cale is when they're relaxed and they're just kind of themselves, that's when they've tended to be at their best here at the end of the year.
All right. You talk about being in a good place. It's also about matchups. So when you look at just the early bracket, is there a comfort that you're seeing just from your observation in some of the matchups, or are there a couple early matchups where you sit back and say, well, may have to somehow figure out a way to survive that one?
Yeah, I think, I mean, as we've talked about, you know, the seeding from Penn State's perspective at 125 and 157 is obviously very tough. We're going to get both of those weights, the a former national champion and the number one seed for the Penn State kids in those bouts. And obviously that's problematic for anybody in terms of the matchups. I do think when you look at the first couple of rounds for the kids that are in the, you know, top four seeds here for Penn State, there isn't anything on paper there that's, flashing red alert for you. I think Penn State feels pretty good about getting all of those guys through to at least the quarterfinals. And then, again, I think matchup-wise, actually, I think they have five guys that, again, have a good path. Never an easy path here at the national tournament, but I think they have five guys with very manageable routes with their skill set and with the matchups to get into the NCAA finals here Saturday night.
All right. So we've talked about Hildebrand and what his deal is, because he's got to go 17 from Lehigh, and then he goes right to the number one seed overall. You've watched him. Does he have the capability of knocking off the number one guy?
He does, Steve, but what it's going to come down to, and I was kind of watching him in particular when you were asking about, are they in a good place, and body language-wise, I loved what I was seeing, because it was not what we were seeing even after just the first round at the Big Ten tournament, or the quarterfinal round, his first match. But you know, he seems loose. I think he knows what he's capable of doing. I do think the matchup with Soriano this season helped him, and I really think for Drew, it's going to come down in that particular matchup. And, you know, again, that's presuming he gets past the first round, which is no guarantee.
Right.
But
right.
That matchup with Soriano, I think, is an intriguing one. I mean, Soriano is definitely rightfully going to be significantly favored. But I think there's some little adjustments that they want to make in terms of the approach. I think they like the way Hildebrandt weathered the storm in the first period in their first meeting, and that's going to be kind of the key again if they do meet in that second round. And Hildebrandt, I mean, it's going to come down to whether Hildebrandt can get his ride going, in my mind. If he can get a good ride going on Soriano, then I think he's got a real shot here. And Hildebrandt has a great ride. It's just that Soriano is among the best in the country at just getting out quickly from bottom, and that's what he did the first time they met. So, I think Hildebrandt has a chance. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm expecting him to win that bout, but I do think he'll be right there. And you know, if you can give yourself an opportunity to be within a takedown in that final 60 seconds, again, then it's in your hands, and you just got to go make it happen.
For example, in basketball, Devontae Jones, the point guard for Michigan, is in concussion protocol. He's not going to be able to play in the opening round in Indy. He's out. Well, the Big Ten Wrestling Championships had a few prominent people not go, you know, especially in the final. Any word on whether everybody is available, or is everybody waiting on some of these guys? And now, you know,
yeah.
Penn State's not in that boat, but others are.
No, and I think, Steve, it's going to be really interesting to see. I think everybody's going to at least give it a go. You know, I've been talking to some different people, and I'm getting different answers on a couple of the kids and kind of where they're at. I think there's some real concern with Jaden Ironman and with Michael Kemmerer of Iowa. I think both those guys are warriors, and they're going to battle through anything. But I just don't know that with Kemmerer's shoulder and with Ironman's knee, if, you know, how effective they're going to be against the top end competition. And then the one that to me is just going to be very interesting to see how he comes out here is Sebastian Rivera of Rutgers. Because if he is on, Steve, I mean, he's right there with Nick Lee in my mind is
yes,
and Ironman. I mean, those three guys are just heads and shoulders above the rest of the field to me. But it's whether Rivera's healthy, and he's the one that I'm getting different answers on. Where you know, apparently he had his knee scoped sometime within the last month, and that's not an easy thing. I realize it's not a major procedure, but to try to come back and compete at this level against the caliber of competition we're talking about, I don't know. But it's his last go around, so he's obviously going to do everything he can. And you know, we'll see. But those are the three guys that I think. You know, there's the most intrigue around and the most uncertainty as to what type of a performance they'll actually be able to give here.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because it was just a scope. You know, you and I both hear that.
Yeah.
In other words, it was invasive.
Yeah.
Which means you still have to come back from being cut, okay, in a couple of different places.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as people think. The bonus point possibility, obviously, is something we talk about all the time, Jeff. So when we talk about that, I'll go back to the Big Ten. I did ask you this question, but I'll repeat it. Between Michigan, Iowa, and Penn State, as it stands with the health of their current lineups, which one has the chance at bonus points?
Yeah, I think it is Penn State. I just think when you look at the consistency with which the nine guys that are here have put up bonus points throughout the course of their season and careers, you know, I think it's seven of the weight classes Penn State will get at least a bonus point. And I think at least six of them, they're going to have a couple of bouts where they get bonus points. And listen, they have a couple of kids in this lineup that are capable of getting bonus points every time out, no matter who the competition is. So, you know, that's, and we've seen it over the course of, the years of the NCAA tournament. Those bonus points when there is tight competition with teams toward the top, those bonus points can really start to separate the teams. And, you know, it's not that that Iowa and Michigan and some other teams that will be contending can't get bonus points, but I think, you know, Nick Lee has been a virtual bonus point machine.
Right.
You know, Greg Kirkfleet, outside of the, you know, top three guys at the weight class, aside from him, I mean, he's been bonusing just about everybody else as well. And then, again, all of the title contenders here for Penn State, you know, I think are certainly looking for bonus points, and you're pretty much expecting it in those first couple of rounds.
All right, yeah, and that's where you can get a lot of the bonus points, because when the cream meets the cream, you know, it's going to be normally a tight, lower scoring to begin with anyway.
Sure.
Okay, so now let's get to when you're Penn State and you have the label of that across your chest, you automatically have a target. You're the biggest guy they're going to wrestle the entire time because of the label on the front. When you add in Aaron Brooks being the national champion, the defending national champion, he finally got clipped a bit. I didn't say beat, he got clipped a bit, okay? So he's had that now where he has to be the guy that bounces back from it. I know you know he's in a great spot, but what does he need to do to then go back to the top of the podium?
Yeah, I don't think a lot, to be honest with you, Steve. His attitude coming off of that loss was terrific. I mean, it really was. And, you know, he talked about it. It is basically a blessing to him that it happened then and that he, you know, knows now that he has to just kind of focus in on his own game, not worry about what the officials are doing or not doing that he thinks that they should be, and just stay in the moment and dialed in on what it is you're trying to achieve. And I think he's of all of the kids in this lineup, he is the one I'm least worried about in terms of the
right
approach coming into the tournament. And it was kind of fun. You know, you talk about Penn State kind of having that target on the back when we were over at the arena earlier today. Aaron and Kale were rolling around, and the number of people who just tried to casually look and wait, is that the two legends rolling around with each other? And, you know, you can't help but get drawn to to checking it out. But you watch the way Aaron is preparing and just some of the little things he's working on in preparation for it. Again, I know he is hoping, and he's not taking anything for granted, but he's hoping that he gets to wrestle Amin again. And more out of a respect thing. I mean, it's not like I'm going to get you back. He wants to test himself against the best, and he knows darn well that right now Miles Amin is the best aside from himself in that way.
Right. I mean, the best wants to meet the best. I mean, that's what you want. That's what we were talking about Kemmerer before. You're talking about him. Well, guess what? The people who aren't worth their salt in the field don't want him to wrestle. The people worth the salt in the field want to face him because there's a level of respect. Kale has the ability, like, when you work, you work. But at the same time, it's not the end of the earth. So he will lighten it up a bit. He's done dodgeball, for example, with the guys before they've gone on a trip. He's done things like that. And what did he do? Do you know what he did this time with him just to kind of loosen and lighten the mood a little bit before they took off?
Yeah, I don't think there's been anything specific. I mean, they do their games before practices every day anyway, and that's continued. And, you know, they definitely have fun with that. And there's been some banter on the plane about some cheating going on in the various dodgeball games by coaches.
Well, of course the coaches cheated.
When
you're at a certain age, the skills are eroding a bit.
That is exactly right. But no, I think they, again, they're just loose and they're, I think just excited about the opportunity. And I think you're exactly right, Steve. The one thing that I think these kids, realize, and Aaron Brooks really just exemplifies it to me is listen, they are putting everything they can into the sport. They love the sport. They love to compete. They want to win. They understand that win or lose, coming out of this tournament, they have a whole long life in front of them and a lot of other things that they're going to have to worry about down the road. And I think that that understanding and realization that, you know, yes, again, you're putting a lot into this and there's a reason that you're doing that. You want the results. But if you don't get them and you gave everything you had, so be it. And then you take those lessons and you apply them out of the so-called real world. And I think by and large, the overwhelming majority of kids that have come through Cal's program have that perspective.
No doubt.
And I think, you know, guys like, you know, David Taylor and Bo Nickel and Aaron Brooks are just guys that truly live it. Again, they're doing everything they can to prepare themselves. They want to compete at the highest level. They want to win. And when they lose, and it will happen from time to time, you know, they go back and try to work on the little things that can make them a little better. But they don't, you know, they don't sit around and sulk. They don't throw headgears. It's not the end of the world to them because they realize that there's going to be other things that they're going to have to do above and beyond wrestling tomorrow and moving forward.
And finally, to do this in front of a full house.
Steve, I think it's everything. I really do. It was just so surreal last year in St. Louis. Just I was just talking to a friend about this today, where you just weren't seeing hardly anyone, where normally, again, you're running into all kinds of people wearing all kinds of wrestling gear and representing the various schools. And I just think for the kids, and again, they said all the right things. It's still wrestling. We'd wrestle in front of an empty arena. Right. And, you know, and I get it. They would. They did. But it is electrifying when you get 18, 20,000 fans oohing and aahing at every move. And, you know, that Saturday night with the Parade of Champions and the entire spectacle, it's just a wonderful opportunity for these kids to be able to kind of revel in the glory. And it is the thing I'm probably most looking forward to is actually hearing the roars from the stands throughout the course of the tournament.
Enjoy every second of it. You'll be brilliant as always, but I want you to enjoy it. Jeff, thank
you.
Well,
I will definitely enjoy it. I always do and pinch myself that I have the opportunity to be here again.
Well, the fans are fortunate they have you to listen to every year again. Thank you, Jeff, so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Steve.